the 174th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. Well, we just got back from the International Conference on Nutrition in Medicine, Washington, D.C., and I was joined by my lovely registered dietitian, Addie Delaney Meinerich. Welcome, Addie.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be on with you all. And yeah, we had a great time at the conference.
It's our first time going to a conference together, so it was great. It was my first time being to the Dr. Neil Barnard was the host, and it was his first time being at his conference. So it was a jam-packed 2 days. So we want to share some things about what we learned at the conference, and you know, maybe some highlights. Certainly not everything. This is not a conference limited to. There's mainly healthcare providers, probably 50% physicians and 50% healthcare providers, whether nurses, registered dietitians, nurse practitioners, chiropractors, and a variety of different people. But you know, if you ever get the chance to go, I think it's a good program to hear people speak. When I'm traveling, or when I'm, you know, I'm training for an Ironman, it's coming up at the end of September, and so, you know, when you're traveling, you always get out of your exercise routine, and so it's always a little bit worrisome. So Thursday morning, we traveled, so we get up and ran before we left, and when we got there, we got there early enough that we decided to take a walk, and we had a recommendation for our first restaurant, and it was called Farewell, and it's Farewell. It was great food, and so we went about our hike in our walking sandals. No, they weren't really walking sandals, but they were sandals that we were wearing. We thought we would walk about a mile and a half to this restaurant, and it was pretty warm, about 85 degrees there when we got in.
Oh, it was more than that.
Yeah, and we may have GPS and, you know, got a little bit confused and behind. And
the famous rerouting.
Yeah, so it took the mile and a half, probably was more like 3 miles to get there. But we got really good food.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So that was nice. And when we came out, we realized, well, on the way there, we realized that the Capitol building was not that far away. At least there was this big white Capitol building that we could see, so it shouldn't be too far away. So we decided after dinner that we'd walk to the Capitol building. And so we walked to the Capitol building. And then
we were like, well, the Washington Monument's right there, so why not walk to it?
Yeah, so we walked to the Washington Monument. And you know, by that time, the sun was starting to go down. And so, you know, we were really good tourists, taking photo ops everywhere that we could. And so one of my favorite monuments is the Lincoln Memorial. So once we were at the Washington Monument, we started to walk to the Lincoln Memorial. Mm-hmm. And that's longer. Again, it doesn't look like it's that far when you just look at it, but we walked quite a bit. And on the way there, we, you know, we obviously went by the World War II Memorial, and we got to the Lincoln Memorial. And so I don't know, we probably had 4 or 5 miles in by that time.
And yeah, walked all the way up the steps, said hi to Abe, and came back down, went to see the Vietnam.
Yep, we went to the Vietnam Memorial, and so then we thought we should probably head back to the hotel. We were going to try to check in for the conference, but we obviously missed that in our 26,000-step walk that we did. But anyway, so that was good. We walked off our...
Literally was 27,000 steps.
Yeah. So that was good. And, you know, the first thing that happened that was interesting, so the next morning the conference started at 7:30, and I really thought, you know, it's supposed to be 1,000 people here, and we're in the Hyatt, you know, big Hyatt Hotel, Grand Hyatt, you know, downtown Washington, D.C. So we got up really early to go to the gym because we figured we have to go in the dark because we weren't that brave to go outside in the dark and run. And so we thought we'd go to the gym and then maybe finish up outside. And we get to the gym, and there weren't that many people there, surprisingly.
No, we thought we were going to have to fight for a treadmill, but there it was a beautiful gym.
Yep, beautiful gym. So we did our members' workout.
Yeah, if you're a member listening, that little workout we posted at the end of the year, July Wellness Challenge, we did a warm-up on the treadmill, and then we did our circuit.
Yep, so we did our circuit and then got ready and then went back down to the conference. You know, like any good foodies would talk about, the first thing, well, also, I guess, well, we already started about food, but we got down there, breakfast was great. So steel-cut oatmeals with berries and pineapple and honeydew and cantaloupe, and so it was a very, very good breakfast. And they kicked it off with a bang. They started with Dean Ornish, who is probably the first guy that ever published that you could reverse coronary artery disease with plant-based nutrition. And he was the first to do it both with coronary angiograms, which is the gold standard for looking at coronary artery disease before and after starting the diet. And he also looked at it with PET scanning. That was some of his early research. And he gives a brilliant talk, and it was a great way to get things started.
Yeah, I thought his talk was also very positive and very empowering. You know, he talks about his pillars of eat well, move more, love more, stress less. He talks about, you know, you're not blaming yourselves or people you're trying to counsel about their health state, but empowering them with this new knowledge that, you know, we all can be in the driver's seat of your health and wellness.
Yeah, and I have to think, you know, he shared, and I don't know if you haven't heard him speak, maybe you don't know the story, but when he was in medical school, he actually got very depressed, and he was actually suicidal. And, you know, he talked about, you know, changing behaviors, and, you know, for instance, if somebody smoked, you know, and he's like, well, you want me to give up cigarette smoking and take up eating kale? But my only friends are these 20 cigarettes that I have. You know, they never let me down. They're always there for me. And sometimes very, you know, people have reasons for overeating, and it becomes a crutch. And a lot of times there's a lot of underlying reasons why people are very attached to certain things, and especially food and the circumstances. And to ignore those really makes the change difficult. So trying to come to people's why do you want to be healthy? You know, do you want to live, you know, what do you want to live for? What's the reason you get up every morning? You know, and sometimes that can become very difficult to get through, because, you know, if you feel horrible, maybe you're not sure why you want to get up every morning. But there's always something, and, you know, you should be able to talk to your healthcare provider about what it is you're searching for, and you know, where those stumbling blocks are. And I think it's very important to be able to have time to speak with your physician and your registered dietitian about, you know, these struggles. And we certainly want to help people get to the root of why they eat a certain way and what's the roadblock to change.
Of course, and I think, you know, it was great how he tied it all together. And, you know, again, what we talk a lot with our members is this whole picture of wellness. And I think it was really great that he, you know, along with the mental side of it, the physical, really tied it all together nicely.
The, you know, he other studies that he's done is with prostate cancer. And, you know, prostate cancer is one of the biggest things that scares men. It's very prevalent. Most men over 80 have prostate cancer. Most men will die with prostate cancer, but not die of prostate cancer. And that's a very important distinction. But he was able to show that with a Gleason score of less than 7, that prostate cancer could be reversed through a plant-based diet. And, you know, and they also were able to look at the genes. You know, we often talk, you know, it's my genes, I have bad genes, there's nothing I can do about this. But they were able to do studies looking at, you know, people's blood and genes, and you're able to actually affect up to, you know, they showed 500 genes that they were able to affect positively with a plant-based diet. So we don't have to, you know, have all these bad genes turned on. You know, Dr. Esselstyn talks about, you know, having hand grenades in the closet or having a bomb in the closet, but you don't have to pull the pin. And that's the way with a lot of the, especially there's an RAS gene for cancer, and it can actually be very much down-regulated through plant-based nutrition. So again, very, very positive. Looked at people as far as the social aspect of things, you know, being in a community, having a purpose, really goes a long way to improving your life expectancy. So, you know, I think that's, you know, great. And then we kind of talked about, you know, at the break, you know, it's like we were so fortunate to be able to walk through DC and do our 2,600 step little walk. And We saw a lot of people along the way Thursday evening that were struggling to do the walk because they weren't in shape. And that's one great thing that you get out of plant-based nutrition and moving your body is the ability when you're traveling to be able to take on a walk. You know, we didn't know where we were going. We just found a restaurant. We headed out to it. And then we saw something else and we headed out to it. And then, you know, even though we were kind of giggling, you know, that wondering if our sandals would hold up because they really weren't walking sandals, they, you know, they did fine. And, you know, it wasn't any time that we were going to have to stop and, you know, call a cab or anything. We were good to go. And it was, and we saw a tremendous amount. I mean, people were laughing the next day. They said, did you guys get a chance to see anything? I said, we saw a lot of stuff. You know, we pretty much toured the, you know, the downtown D.C. by foot in an evening, you know, by going. So,
and I think that's when, you know, it's far beyond the gym. It's far beyond your table. What these choices, you know, how they make a difference in your life and just being able to live life optimally. And that's really a point that I think was great that he drove home. But then I think that we try to drive home as well, is that this all is a purpose. It's far more than just a means to an end.
And the next speaker was actually Kim Williams. And Dr. Williams is the recent past president of the American College of Cardiology. And he became plant-based after one of his patients came in and was plant-based and reversed, you know, had really improved their health. And he's done a lot politically to get the American College of Cardiology on board. They actually had a session on nutrition and cardiovascular health this year, which is a first. And he talks about in his practice at Rush Medical Center in Chicago that they have 2.5 plant-based cardiologists now, you know, out of a group of 7 or 8. So, I mean, it's not much, but it's a start, you know. So that was kind of funny. One of the things he talked about was the Southern diet. And that was something that he was very interested in, that, you know, the sweet tea and the high-fat diet of the southern, you know, states. And, you know, and I'm going to, you know, I have to interrupt him and throw in West Virginia. I don't consider us a southern state, but we certainly have the you know, that comfort food, biscuits and gravy, high grease, lard,
And I think another huge thing I like that they pointed out with nutrition, and that was, I thought, reiterated with several of the talks that I appreciated, because I feel like we've been talking to a lot of people about the fear of fruit and sugar, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about fat in your diet, but also sugar in your diet, and I thought they did a fantastic job of distinguishing the difference between those processed sugars, and then the 4-to-1 ratio that he talked about, you know, ratio 4-to-1 of fiber to sugar. So that another reason why looking at those fruits, beyond the fact that they have, you know, a plethora of phytonutrients, vitamins and minerals, you know, they also have that healthy fiber that helps with the absorption of their type of sugar. And then, you know, he talked as well as others about, you know, these different diets and, you know, vegan being one of them, that, you know, just, you know, a diet completely free from animal food isn't necessarily a healthy diet. And that's why we really push the whole food plant-based, why, you know, environmentally you might be making a difference. Of course, with animal rights, you're making a difference. But then when we tap it one step further into health and wellness for you and your families and your loved ones, getting down to eating those whole foods in their most natural form.
One of my other favorite speakers, cardiologist as well, named Andrew Friedman. And he was from the National Jewish Health Center. And, you know, he, you know, went on to talk a lot about cardiovascular disease, but his focus was on heart failure and plant-based nutrition. And we often don't, you know, hear people talk about, you know, reversing heart failure per se with plant-based nutrition. We talk about, you know, if you have a weak heart muscle and you take in excessive salt, then obviously you're going to retain fluid and that makes your heart function worse. Obviously, if you eat a high-fat diet, it's going to cause, you know, the endothelial dysfunction and vascular vasoconstriction. And if you're the reason why your heart muscle is poor is because you're not getting enough blood flow to it, then that's going to make, obviously, your heart function worse. But he also talked about diastolic dysfunction and overall heart improvement, looking at people that had, you know, when we talk about ejection fractions, is how much blood that comes out of the heart with each beat. And so a normal ejection fraction is 55 to 60%. And when somebody gets around, you can have a 40% ejection fraction and not really feel it too much if you, you know, eat pretty healthy. But if you get down to about a 15% ejection fraction, then a lot of times these people have symptoms at rest or with minimal exertion, minimal walking, they get shorter breath. It's certainly if they eat even a little bit extra salt, they're going to retain fluid and get shorter breath, and possibly go into heart failure. And they actually looked at plant-based nutrition, and a lot of these people's heart function got better on a plant-based nutrition, which was extremely encouraging, that you could take a heart muscle that was not working at all and then get it back to near normal. And a lot of that comes from, again, the nitric oxide production and increased blood flow, but it's just, you know, you're making your whole body better. One of the things that they also talked about, and, you know, Dr. Esselstyn has talked about before, is this TMAO. And, you know, a lot of times bodybuilders or athletes take choline or carnitine, and eggs are pushed because their eggs and meat are pushed because they have a lot of carnitine and choline. But if you eat animal products and you take this in, it actually, you have a change in your gut bacteria that has this increased production of this TMAO, which is very, very inflammatory. So when these people took the animal products out of their diet, increased the plant products, then this TMAO level goes way down, the inflammation goes way down, and this is one of the proposed mechanisms of the heart function improving. So, you know, if you know anybody that's taking supplements, you know, that thinks they want to be a bodybuilder, or if somebody says you need eggs to be healthy, then this is one of the things you want to really stay away from. And if you look at risk factors, there's even blood tests that you can measure this TMAO level in your blood. And if you combine that with another marker that we use for heart failure called BNP, those together can really show whether somebody is really at increased risk. But again, you can drop these levels by changing your diet and really, really improve, you know, your overall function. So it's really, really important to, you know, and encouraging that even a bad heart muscle, and you know, he gave examples of somebody, you know, was going to get a heart transplant. And they were set for a heart transplant and came back, and lo and behold, their heart function had improved. And it's not just one person, but these, you know, there's also, you know, multiple studies looking at this.
And I think, you know, I appreciated his connection to the studies, to also what he puts into practice, and then, you know, how to get patients and you know, people that surround you to be more interested or open to a whole food plant-based diet. And I love the ending point that he made with that. To be weary of the once in a while as it becomes an everyday occurrence.
Yeah, I think that was a great take-home message, because we oftentimes people say, you know, I only have French fries, you know, once a month, and I only have vegan ice cream once a month.
And that takes those 2 to 3 weeks to decrease those cravings. Yeah. So, and that's 2 to 3 weeks of consistency.
And then the next person I'd like to really speak about, these two, you know, you think you had these really great interviews with these guys, and, you know, I mean, it would be really intimidating to have to follow some of these talks up. They were so good. But I have to say that one of my favorites was the next talk, and I hope to have her on the podcast sooner than later. And her name is Saray Stancic, and she is an infectious disease physician by training, but actually became a patient. And she developed multiple sclerosis and, you know, experienced to the point where she had to walk with a cane and, you know, medication. And, you know, she went to see her doctor, and they, you know, they basically, you know, sometimes, you know, physicians, we're not very, you know, people may say we have a bad bedside manner to patients, but I think we have a worse bedside manner to other physicians, because you kind of speak matter-of-factly to somebody that knows the science. And, You know, they basically came into the room and told her, you know, you've got these lesions in the brain and it looks like multiple sclerosis and you got to be prepared to have disability and walk with a cane and, you know, you may end up in a wheelchair and you're going to have to start these medications, and just was very matter of fact about it. And, you know, really, you know, obviously being a human and, you know, you're a doctor and you think you're, you know, you can take care of yourself. It was a devastating blow. And she started doing her own research and started looking at the causes of multiple sclerosis and the effect that plant-based nutrition has on it. And really, you know, long story short, turned herself around and she ran a marathon. And she looked at the risk factors for multiple sclerosis, and turns out they're pretty much the same risk factors as we have for cardiovascular disease, an increase in cholesterol, an increase in LDL, an increase in this ApoB lipoprotein, and also have a change in their gut microbes, because we know that people that eat animals have a tendency to get a certain bacteria, a certain overgrowth of bacteria, and it turns out that it's high in multiple sclerosis as well. And so when you change your diet, you change your gut bacteria, you decrease the inflammation, because most of our inflammation comes from our colon. So when you can get rid of this inflammation, multiple sclerosis is an autoimmune disease that attacks the outer coating of the nerve cell. So if you can think about the plastic coating on your electric cord is basically what gets attacked by your own body's immune system. So you're able to quiet this down by eating a whole food plant-based diet. And she's actually in the process, it's going to be released January 2019, of a documentary called Code Blue. So that'll be something we'll keep you all informed of, and certainly want to get her on the show to talk more about the movie and the making. But, you know, obviously, she's a huge proponent, advocate, and role model for people with multiple sclerosis, and that there is hope, you know, that by changing your diet and, you know, again, whole food, plant-based, no oil, no sugar, you know, no salt, she's done very, very well. So there were a lot of lectures in between, and obviously a tremendous amount of material covered. But dinner that night, they actually had Dan Buettner from the Blue Zones, and he gave a talk on, you know, what he found and what he experienced with, you know, people living in the Blue Zones. And those are people that live to be 100, or the areas in the world where there's the most people living to be 100 that are still functional and, you know, have their wits about them. It was, you know, a great talk. Basically, you know, be socially engaged, move your body, be active, eat predominantly plants, eat a lot of beans. Are those the huge take-homes? But all these people are moved. You know, they weren't just sedentary all day.
Social group, have some kind of faith, a way of prayer, meditation. That's what one thing I do love about that and that presentation is that, again, it is not just mastering one piece of this puzzle, you know, really taking into account, you know, this isn't just, as I've kind of already said, what you're doing at dinner time or what you're doing in the gym. It's also the social aspect part of this and, you know, being engaged with those around you, having meaningful relationships, making every day count, finding your purpose, you know, knowing your greater power, you know, having a faith interconnection. I think it's just when you look at these different areas of the world, they have such a beautiful way of being. And I think that, you know, being present is something that we can all probably work a lot more on, you know, whether that be with technology or how society is going, but, you know, switching to more of a present being about yourself is something I think, you know, adding on to that list for what you're working on and what we all can work on.
Yeah, it was good. I liked the one guy, you know, he was 100 years old, and every afternoon after he got his work done, he'd go down and, you know, have a glass of wine with his buddies, and they played cards. And so there was, you know, it's really important. I know sometimes in class we talk about, you know, because you're plant-based, nobody's going to have you to dinner, and nobody's going to want to eat dinner with you, and it's hard to go out to dinner, and so we're taking a social aspect away, perhaps, or people feel that way. But, you know, there's a lot more to do with people, and there's a lot more ways to be involved than just eating with them. And, you know, that needs to be pushed aside. And even if, you know, your dinner maybe is not the best one in the world, or your best, you know, when you go out with somebody, if you have to compromise what you eat in order to be around somebody, then I think it's good. So maybe you'll just get the salad or the baked potato. It won't be the big fancy meal, but it's still, you're still with people, or you're still doing something, or you're still in the realm, or you did something afterwards. So, you know, moving your body and being connected to somebody is just good all the way around. And then the next day we got up and we took a run the next day. So we finished our tour of the monuments.
And we went and saw Abe again.
Yeah, we saw Abe again. We were actually going to look for the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, which I do like as well, but I had forgotten that it was on the other side of the Potomac. So we didn't have quite enough time to get there, but we saw Abe again.
Sure tried to find it.
Yeah, so we circled around a while, and then we found the Korean, we had missed the Korean memorial,
yes.
So we did find that one. Yeah, so we added that in and saw Abe again, and then Dr. Neil Barnard, he was down in Fort Myers and gave a lecture this past winter, which was excellent. And he gave two lectures on Saturday, and they were both really, really good. The one was kind of a review of the Mediterranean diet and the myths associated with it. You know, it's been pulled from the New England Journal and then republished. And, you know, the long and the short of it is, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people describe the Mediterranean diet, but if you look at the people that were closest to being vegan on the Mediterranean diet, those people did best. But they weren't able to show, obviously, a reversal of cardiovascular disease. They just had less events. And, you know, there was problems with the study, but again, you know, again, a lot supports whole food, plant-based diet. The more you do that, the better you get.
And something else that I was happy they pointed out was the Mediterranean diet is, you know, a type of cuisine. If you look at the root, what a truly Mediterranean diet is. But you can have a plant-based Mediterranean diet. You can have a plant-based Mexican diet. You can eat plant-based and eat Italian, eat, you know, typical, you know, Irish cooking, American cooking. I mean, there's a lot, just to name a few, of ways that you can eat plant-based with these different ethnic cuisines, which is what they are. But, you know, in naming the cuisine as a whole isn't really of a dietary pattern that is suggested when we're looking at health outcomes.
Yeah. And so, and his talk was really, really good. And the other talk he spoke about, you know, hormonal influences, you know, from dairy, and you know, how young women that suffer from dysmenorrhea and endometriosis and infertility once they get on a whole food plant based diet. Then, you know, all these things miraculously get better. And, you know, we'd go all these, you know, surgery is, you know, really never needed for these conditions if we can get people to change their diet and especially get off the dairy. And, you know, and he talked about soy, you know, because people, you know, especially men are afraid of the soy because of the estrogens, which are really phytoestrogens or estrogen-like, not estrogens. And the reality of it is if you really, really want a high dose of estrogen, and estrogen really drives all these side effects in dysmenorrhea and in endometriosis and infertility, and if you really want, and of course, cancer, and if you really want to get a good dose of that, it's cow's milk and cheese. And you know, they talked about, you know, in the dairy industry now, not only do they, you know, these cows are being impregnated, you know, all the time, and so their estrogen levels are extremely high.
And actually artificially inseminating them while pregnant, and how the dairy that we consume in this country, whether that be organic, grass-fed, happy cows you see skipping along these imaginary commercials, they all are, and if you test you in our dairy now, it is 30% higher in the hormone value, or excuse me, higher in hormone values than it was 30 years ago. And then you're looking at, you can actually trace with the amount of hormones within the dairy lactations that are taken, just even off the shelves, at what point in gestation the cows are at because the levels are so high. So I think, you know, something really positive from that talk was, you know, and many of us may know someone dealing with, especially women dealing with some of these issues, and I think that it is, again, really empowering and encouraging that you don't just have to live with these with no other options other than extreme measures of surgery or pharmaceuticals, that you can, again, get in the driver's seat of your health and wellness with a whole food plant-based diet and these dietary changes.
Yeah, it seems like it's the magic bullet, but it really is the key to getting us all well is to just get all these processed bad foods out of our diet, and things will get a lot better. Another interesting talk was by Dr. Adrienne Few-Berman, and she is a professor of pharmacology at Georgetown University Medical Center. She started out as a family practice internist and then quickly went back into the teaching realm of things and into pharmacology. And the name of her talk was the over-promotion of drugs in preventative medicine. And, you know, we all know that the pharmaceutical representatives and free samples drive a lot of what's dispensed, and the pharmacy world has really changed the practice of medicine. But she brought up some really good topics that, you know, now a lot of times the marketing is actually centered around kind of making up new diseases or making up conditions where people need these medications or off-label use of medications.
And they focus their marketing schemes towards marketing the disease, not even the prescription. When you think about that, when you think about some of the commercials or ads that you're seeing, they're marketing these conditions or diseases, whether they are something of substance or not. And then, you know, the pill is the magic potion. But the tactics are very purposeful.
And, you know, one of the ones that she looked at was, you know, again, early on was estrogen replacement. Started out with Premarin, went to a patch, and, you know, all of a sudden menopause was a disease instead of a process of the normal aging process.
And the fear that's instilled, you know, there's actually a great percentage of women who go through menopause who don't see any symptoms whatsoever. You know, there is a portion that have the hot flashes and things of that nature. But then, while there are outliers, it is not the general population that needs this intervention. And it's actually been seen to have some significant health risks.
Yeah. One being increased risk of breast cancer and endometrial cancers. And, of course, people talk about, well, what about osteoporosis? And, of course, and then there's a bunch of drugs about those. And the reality of it is that the DEXA scans, there's radiation needed to do these scans, but it's never really changed the pattern of fracture in people. And we look at, you know, bone density in the hip versus a vertebral bodies versus that of a 25-year-old. And, you know, a lot of these conditions, you know, are really made-up conditions. And we should be focusing on keeping women active, keeping their muscles strong, building muscle mass and bone mass at an early age, and not worried so much about, you know, replacing hormones as a means to an end, because, most of these have been pulled off on the market or the indications change, because we actually, the latest study looking at estrogen replacement showed increased heart attacks in women taking estrogen, you know, because of blood clots. And of course, now we're changing it to the male version of this diagnosis being low T or low testosterone. And they come up with these questionnaires, you know, did you fall asleep after dinner? You know, are you tired? You know, does your golf game, is your golf game getting bad? Then maybe you need, you know, you need testosterone. And again, people, men's testosterone typically goes down because they're not healthy. You know, they have diabetes, they have high blood pressure, they're overweight. They're exposed to more estrogen.
Higher levels of adipose tissue.
Yeah, and so, you know, men are being treated with this, and, you know, they're starting to have more blood clots, and they're starting to have more secondary cancers. And, you know, the indications for these, again, they're made-up indications, they're made-up diseases, and she's become a very, she's an advocate for... you know, the proper use of medication. She's not against medications, but obviously for the proper reason and not just coming up with a diagnosis to use a pill for.
And I think you have to weigh your options when presented with, you know, a potential condition that you may be diagnosed with. You know, instead of just jumping on that, oh, sure, just write me the prescription, taking a moment to breathe and think of, you know, maybe some lifestyle changes that could potentially, you know, need not have any medication or intervention for.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, there's the fear of hip fracture, obviously, as women get older. But, you know, well, there's a lot of different ways that we can prevent that. You know, yoga classes, Tai Chi, balance therapy, again, building muscle, people, keeping people active. And then in more elderly people's homes, you know, taking away the rugs, making sure that they have, you know, handrails where they need to have them, rather than taking these medications with some really, really terrible side effects. So that was a really, really good talk. And she has a website called Farmed Out. That you can check out, that has, and there's a newsletter that they go over a lot of reviews. And if you heard somebody burp in the background, it was Gretchen the dog.
It's not me. She has no shame.
So we're not going to edit it out if you heard it, but
if I would admit it, folks.
I'm going to tell you that it was Gretchen the dog. So we're sitting around here surrounded by three German shepherds, and, you know, they haven't barked, but Gretchen did.
Oh, yeah.
She got a little gas after her frosty paw this evening. So you know, it was a really, really good conference. And I thought that, you know, I came up with a few things on the plane ride back. And I thought Addie and I would just go over some quick questions or quick things that, you know, we looked about. And you know, it's always interesting to go to these conferences. They talk about, you know, the number of people going each year keeps to go, you know, going up. It was like, you know, a couple hundred, then 300, then 500. There's over 1,000 people there this year. But, you know, we notice in the, you know, when you eat lunch with people and you're in the buffet line and, you know, you hear the questions and, you know, we ask each other, it's like, what percentage of the people do you think were already plant-based?
And I think we came up with probably 50% full-on. Some were probably still in the curious phases. And then there definitely were some people who were just very curious and had not adopted this.
Yeah, I was sitting by a physician that was, and he did weight loss in his clinic in Las Vegas. He was a direct primary care doctor, and you know, he didn't really focus on any diet. And I think that, you know, this conference is going to allow him to become more plant-based. He said he had tried to become plant-based on and off, and then he would fall off the wagon. So I think there was a lot of that, a lot of curious people. So it was a lot of good information, and it, you know, but it just tells you we have to get this information out more. And this is going to be a shameless plug right now, but please, if you enjoy this podcast, share this with your friends. You know, tell other people, give us a like on iTunes, a 5-star rating so it can get up there, because we want to educate as many people as we can. We want to get as many physicians and healthcare providers on board with plant-based nutrition so that the patients don't have to educate the doctors and the healthcare providers, that we can, you know, get this information going all around.
And these healers can get back to healing.
Yeah, because there is a lot of information that really needs to be dispersed. One thing good about the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, They are also animal advocates, and they have gone a long way to decrease animal testing and experimentation. So I think, you know, they are, it's a really, really good organization. So you can actually join that organization or go on their line. They have a lot of resources to check out as well. What was the craziest question? You know, like after every talk, they have a question and answer session. What was the craziest question that you heard asked?
Again, I think we kind of came up with, you know, the same one. You know, they had a question and answer after every single one of the speakers, which I thought was fantastic as well. But, you know, when someone came up and asked about, you know, the very serious Me Too movement and if there were any, and she was serious and she was sincere, and I think we all want an answer to the madness that is happening, that has been happening. But asked if, you know, it could be dietary related. And obviously, you know, they did touch on, you know, alcohol. Somebody did mention an increase in alcohol abuse and domestic abuse, the connection with that. But in terms of, you know, sexual harassment and the Me Too movement, you know, that was just, you know, society and how we, you know, need to get back control of how we are treating each other and kind of the wellness portion of it, that human connection, and but not really the fact that it was nutrition related, but the fact that we need to identify each and every person as having some worth and some value.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, there was a little discussion over body mass index and, you know, should we look at that or not? And, you know, somebody brought up, well, you know, if you're really muscular, then obviously your BMI might be high, but you have a lot of muscle, and does that play a role?
And I think you have to look at your patient population. I'll take this on that. I got a little heated under the collar over this one, because we do have to have, you know, numeric markers to assess patient health and progress. And for the general population, you know your patient population, you know your client demographic. If you're dealing with athletes and serious athletes that are training for hours on end that you know have a low body fat percentage, then obviously taking into consideration that their BMI may not be a good criteria, because, you know, we know muscle weighs more than fat, so that indicator can be a little bit skewed. But if you have a general population, especially if you're trying to make significant lifestyle changes for, you know, the BMI is huge. You know, it's used in all of these studies, and we're looking at risk factors and changes in health outcomes. So I think that it still is a credible determinant. I just think that you need to assess your population.
And then, we were trying to figure out which talk we liked the best, and I think we kind of came up with, we couldn't really make a decision on that one. There were a lot of good talks that we really enjoyed, and we'll try to share, you know, along the next few podcasts, maybe, you know, some helpful hints or some takeaways with us. The food was wonderful. It's always great to be at a conference that you don't have to worry about, is this plant-based or not? And they even had a version of my tofu egg sandwich.
Yes, it was fantastic. The food was phenomenal. I mean, different types of, you know, spices and seasonings and cuisines. There was nothing repeated. You know, for people who think they have a lack of variety, oh my goodness, the colors that was presented, the tastes, you know, for each and every meal. I was blown away by the food, the amount of food presented, and the quality.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so you think 1,000 people, buffet lines, there must have been, you know, 8 or 9 buffet lines. There was plenty of food, lots of greens, lots and lots of greens, lots and lots of fruit. And then, you know, beans and lentils and, you know, all kinds of different, they're little different ethnic dishes every day. So the food was outstanding for a hotel, especially to put on something like that. They did great. It was fresh food and plenty of it, and very timely. So that was all really, really good. I'm going to moan a little bit. They did have a cooking demonstration during the dinner on Friday night, and
there was the typical unfortunate disconnect with chefs and cooking and health.
Yeah, so there was a lot more olive oil and salt used than people in the audience were actually screaming, no oil, no oil.
Don't add any more.
You know, and so that was unfortunate. A lot of good ideas. You know, they made some...
Fantastic presentation. And I do think that both of the dishes, you know, like we say about most dishes, you know, can be completely done. Just take that oil out. So I think that that was... a little frustrating, but other than that, I did think they did a nice job presenting them.
Yeah, so we really, really enjoyed the conference. And I, Dr. Greger, you know, you've all listened to, I'm sure, nutritionfacts.org gave the, you know, the final talk with his, you know, how not to die and all his ranting and raving. But I'm going to leave, or I'm going to close this out, I think, on a, you know, a paraphrase of what, you know, one of the things that he said that hits home to me more than anything is that, you know, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in the world, dying of heart disease, vascular disease. And we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that plant-based nutrition can reverse cardiovascular disease, and no one need die of a heart attack or a stroke or have high blood pressure. Doesn't have to happen. And if you want to argue about every other disease and whether plant-based nutrition affects it, if we just fix that one huge healer, killer of people, then this would be worth doing.
And prevention as well.
Right. So, you know, so if we just prevented cardiovascular disease in all those young people that already have it, they just don't know yet. And
which is the majority of us.
The majority of us. If you've ever eaten a standard American diet, probably have fatty streaks in your arteries. So if we could reverse all that with just a plant-based diet, there is no reason for anyone not to adopt a whole food plant-based diet.
And if this piques your interest or something else has into a whole food plant-based diet, please, you know, go onto our website, look on how to contact us. We do have online programs for those of you far away. I would love to speak with any of you on what we can do to help you adopt this, you know, this not just diet, but lifestyle, and help you get to preventing and reversing these conditions that you and your loved ones need not have.
All right, so it's email at Addie, A-D-D-I-E, at drdelaney.com, J-A-M-I, at drdelaney.com. That's me. Dr. Delaney, spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R-D-U-L-A-N-E-Y, is the website, drdelaney.com. Look us up on Instagram at...
naturally, period, rooted, period, nutrition is my Instagram handle, and I think you are Jamie Delaney?
Jamila Delaney.
Oh, excuse me. And speaking of social media, it was pretty cool to see some of you listeners at the conference.
Yes. So thank you for coming up and saying Tara and saying hi and all the others that actually, it's kind of funny that a few people's like, is that you, Dr. Jamie? And it was pretty funny. I guess this voice of mine that it's not made for singing, but it's made for podcasting may carry a little bit. So I appreciate anybody that came up and said hi, and I look forward to seeing you all again. And certainly if we can do anything to help you in your journey to becoming plant-based and healthy and happy, let us know. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.